Okay, Shavua Tov. I think this is our first full week we're going to have, eh? In a hell of a long time, like a proper Sunday to Thursday. Okay, so we started yesterday the new Perek HaMafkid. Right, and the Mishnah spoke about when you deposit somebody something with a friend of yours. Right, and then we got into the question of making a Shua. So if it was deposited with you and it was stolen or lost, you got two choices. You got to pay the guy, or you can make a shvua. If you make a shvua, you walk away, or you can pay. If you pay, we saw yesterday the rights that you acquire in the payment. So basically, you buy the future rights to the compensation for theft. That if you had the article, and let's say we're talking about an animal now for argument's sake, like you had a goat, or you had a cow. And you were looking after the cow, and the cow got stolen, or you claimed the cow was stolen. You could now either make a shvua that the cow was stolen, and then you walk away, you patur, or you can say, I don't want to make a shvua, and you can pay the original owner the value of his cow. And now the question arises, when the cow is found, let's say that they find the original thief. There was a thief, and they found the thief, and now the thief had in the meantime sold it or killed it or shechted it, so we know, ki gnov, you know, we should say utevacho mecharo chamisha ba'kar tachashov v'artatzon achase. So he's got to pay four or five times the amount. The question yesterday we asked was, who does that four or five go to? So we said that it goes to the person who had paid. In other words, I paid you the money, I got it. So the question was, how could you get it? Right. So we ended off yesterday. We had a bit of an exciting ending here yesterday. We said like this. We let's go quickly to the. We're three lines from the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amud Bet yesterday. Though we finished yesterday, I wanted to go back to there. He says, how can you do that? How can you sell somebody the rights to the fact that when the thief comes and gets found, he's going to pay you?
Afilu says the Gemara, Rabbi Meir. I don't understand. Somebody gives you a deposit as you're a shomer for somebody else. It gets stolen.
And then you come and you decide to pay the original owner. You don't want to make a shvua. You pay the owner. So now what the Gemara said was, when you paid the owner, that when they find the original thief, now there was a thief,
right,
and they find the thief, and the thief had shechted the sheep. You paid the keren.
Just the keren.
Keren. So you paid just the keren. Now they find the thief. Okay, and now they find the thief, and the thief has to now pay four times, let's say four times the amount, because it was a seh. Right, so the question, who did that money go to? We said, that money goes to me. I paid you. I was the shomer. You were the sheep owner. I paid you the keren.
You become the owner.
I become the owner. I buy the rights.
Right.
So Gemara's question was, but how can you do that? You're buying rights of something which isn't yet created. And we got a klal, right? We got a klal. Mm-hmm. I can't do a kinyan with you on something that doesn't exist yet. We discussed the whole idea of futures. Is a problem in halacha?
But then any owner would. Why would the original owner have? You're in the shoes of the original owner.
I never
had to
buy it. It's mine. I own it.
It's crazy.
Yeah, now you own it.
No, I don't own it. It's stolen.
I was the original owner.
But now it's gone. When we did a chayfet, we did a meshicha. Remember? You gave me your cow. I pulled the cow. I did a kinyan on the cow. Yeah. And now the cow's mine. There's no kinyan on something which doesn't exist. Well, I can't do meshicha. I can't do what?
We've got yush. Things still exist.
Yush, you zoche with a kinyan. You pick it up off the ground. You zoche with a kinyan. We learned. We've all learned. Yeah, we've done kiddushim. We've done babakam. We've done gittim. We've seen the whole concept of kinyanim. How do you make a kinyan up here, locha? We said the money isn't what's koneh. It's the maaseh kinyan that's koneh. How do you do a maaseh kinyan on a virtual concept?
You said it's a virtual concept. It exists from the moment it's stolen. There's a right to pay the money.
But there's no chayfets. That's the Gemara's whole question. We're going around in circles.
Okay.
We're going around. There's no chayfets. The Gemara's question is: if we can know we can do a kinyan on a chayfets, how do we do a kinyan on a concept?
Insurance.
So David, exactly. So for us today, this is where the Gemara is outright. Of course, we know you can do a kinyan, like you said, it's a right. But well, that's right. Is it a real right? Is it a personal right? Is it a legal right? Is it what right is it? So the Gemara's question is how. And look, but the Gemara understood that there were rights. The Gemara said like this: "Va'afilu Rabbi Meir, the Amar, ain't adam makne davar shel lo ba'al olam." Rabbi Meir said that. Hanimili, Rabbi Meir said, "When do we say that you can't makne davar shel lo ba'al olam?" Honey, with you, right?
No,
that you can. Sorry. When Rabbi Meir said you can, honey, meaning you can go and pay or dekel, right? Like the fruits of a tree, like the crop. We know that even though we believe in Hashem, we know it all comes from Hashem. But bottom line is we know how the world works. And we know that you plant trees. And if everything goes according to plan, there should be a crop. So that, Rabbi Meir says, you can sell. There, David, you got a right. You got a future up. Because while, even though we can't see it now, we all know that if you plant a tree and you water it, a fruit's going to grow. But on this, what's going on here? Abal Hachan, look, the Gemara explains it now, right? And he explains it quite nicely. But what are we talking about over here? Abal Hachan, now we start Dhamma Dhamma Dhamma. Abal Hachan, mi yema de migneva. De miganva, I think, is the right way to pronounce it. You've got to be careful using the kudot. De miganva, right? De miganva, right? Yep. Ganja, sounds like ganja. Right? Which is basically not a big difference between demiganva and ganja because it's all virtual, right? So to me, am I demiganva? Right, look at Rashi there. Who says, right? How do we even know it's going to get started? What are we speaking about? When was the Maaseh Kinyan done? Now Rashi puts it into context now, right? Sha'atid li ganev. Do we know that it's even going to get stolen? Delikni le kefel b'sha'at mesira. When was the Kinyan done according to the Gemara we're talking about saying that when I deposited the chafetz with you, I brought my cow to you, we did as follows. I handed over my cow to you, even though you were only a shomer, there was a Maaseh Kinyan. You took the shor and you pulled it from me. In the Maaseh Kinyan, look at Rashi, Bashat Mesira, the Alkor, and at that time of Mesira, we had an agreement that I'm taking your cow and I'm pulling it now and I'm doing a Maaseh Kinyan. And in this Maaseh Kinyan, inherent in the Maaseh Kinyan, is understanding as follows, that I'm looking after this cow. If this cow should get stolen or lost, I have the choice to either make a shvua or pay you. If I pay you, I'm acquiring the rights. And if I'm, and now, therefore, if the cow gets stolen and they find the gunner, it's mine. At the shot of the Mesira, look at Rashi. Right, the likelei kefil b'shat mesira. The al korchach, Rashi says, you have to say to the b'shat mesira. Why? By laknuye she mashchami menu amanat ken. The meshicha was done for that purpose. So we're understanding that the only time you can do a maaseh kinyan, if there was a maaseh kinyan. And what was the maaseh kinyan? The handing over the cow from the owner to the guy looking after it. There was a meshicha. So and at that moment in time, how can we do that? What, do we even know it's going to get stolen? We now discussing what happens after they find the crook. But we're discussing that this meshicha was done before we even had the thought of a theft. And at that stage, we knew there was going to be a theft. So what were you selling the guy? You understand? It's like twice removed.
Why can't you have the kinyan at the time where the shomer pays the money?
Money's not a kinyan. Money is not a kinyan. We learned that before. Money is not a kinyan. Money lo kone. You kone either b'shtar, meshicha, or kone other maaseh kinyan. Mesira. Money is not a kinyan. Money is just represents the value. We've discussed that many times before. We have to understand that money is not a kinyan. So therefore, money is not a kinyan. No. Okay, thank you. Rach
ishanik neit b'kesef.
Interesting. Ishanik neit b'kesef. You're right. It's a good point. Okay, because that's maybe proof that a woman really isn't nikna. And that's an argument I've been having with Noam for years, and I've been saying that it is. And that might actually just disproved me now over this split second. No, Bamash, I'm serious. No. That might just be the greatest disproof to my argument that a woman is not a real Kenyan, because if it was a real Kenyan, it couldn't be done with money. No. Actually, never thought about that before.
Maybe it's an exception to the rule.
Maybe, but
I think.
No, I'll be honest with you. I want to give up because philosophically, I prefer the idea that a woman isn't niknat. But it seems to me in everything that we do.
What you're buying is essentially her exclusivity.
So that's why it refutes my belief, but it makes sense why Isha niknat because it's not a real Kenyan. You're just paying her, like you're saying, basically for exclusivity. You're not really buying her.
Right.
Where with an object which you want to own, you can't. You have to be master meshicha. You can't even master kin. You can't just do money. That money, okay, yeah. Right. But imtim tzilomar. So now the Gemara. Okay, we spent the last 10 minutes on background. We're going to move now. So now we understand what we're speaking about. So now the Gemara says, wait a second. If you're telling me now that meshicha was done at the time of the mesira of the chayfetz, so now basically we got a question, right? Look at the Gemara. Imtim tzilomar demignava. So now let's go one step further. You know what? Let's say that the world gets stolen. But what's the chance of now we're going to find the ganef? Ve'i mishnach ganef, and let's say we're going to find the ganef. Mi yamar de mashalim, maybe the ganef won't pay. Dilma mori umiftar, maybe he'll admit to his debt, to his crime, and not have to pay even the arab and the chamesh. Because remember, he only pays, why? Look at Rashi there. Is it Rashi? Remember, I don't know if it's Rashi here, but we learned that he only pays, it says, Va'elohim. Right? There's a limud on that he has to come to court. Right? That he pays by judges. If he doesn't get judged, he doesn't pay. So look how removed we are. The guy might, let's go from the end. There might be a ganef, he might get caught, but he might not have to pay. There might not even be a ganef. He might not get caught, and there might not be a ganef even. So there's like, look what you're selling. You're selling a future on like the most unlikely scenario. That's a question. So now we give two answers. There's Amar Rav. Amar Rav says, no, what are we speaking about? Nase ke omerlo. You're right. So we have to say what? That in the Meshicha, at the time, we make a Masa Kinyan like that. So come on, say, wait a second. I'm skipping out the Rashi, and I won't do it another minute. So he says, wait a second, if that's the case, which means you own it from now. Right? It says, Matkif Rav Zaira. Ihachi, if that's the case, that now you've done a Masa Kinyan and the guy owns it from the moment you hand it on, and he basically is bearing the risk and he's entitled to all the benefits of the future. Then he should be entitled to all the wool and to its offspring. Because his. Right? Alama Tanya. So why does the Bible tell us that when you do this Mesira, he's responsible for if it gets stolen, and he's entitled to the rights if it gets found. But chutz mi gzizotea v'ladotea. But he's... I don't know. The Gemara knows it. The Gemara, obviously, this machloket here where there was Rabbi Meir. Makna Rizaira, Bacham of Ainan, Rabbi Meir, Dama Makna, Dama Shavu Baolam. That would probably be, if you ask me, you'll probably find it if you go looking in your Vamot or Kiddushin or in Gittin or Baba Batra. Plenty of places you probably find it, okay? Tanya Chutz, because it's about there, and you can, that's the halacha, El Am Rabbi Zaira. So this is what Rabbi Zaira says. Naasek, Omerlo, Chutz, because it's about there. So the Tanai. Inheriting the Tanai is, I'm doing the Masa Kinyan, and you're only entitled to the animal if it gets stolen and it gets found and he pays the four and the four and etc. etc. But you're not entitled to the Vladot, to the offspring. It's inherent. That's what I said. It's inherent in the Masa. That's understood by the Masa. Exactly. Inherent. I don't know. Inherent. Ze muvan betocha. Ze muvan me'elav. Muvan me'elav. Right. Okay. So the Gemara says like this, Umay Pascha, why did you decide? We've seen this before, this Lashon of Pascha, right? Like cutting. Umay Pascha. What you made it, look at Rashi, Umay Pascha. Pasakta davar b'chol adam, she'da'ato laknot kefil im yavo lechach, ve'ein da'ato, how do you decide that that's the distinction in a person's mind? That he's happy to give you the kefil if he finds it, if he gets paid the kefil of the four or the five, but for the wool and for the baby's not. Why do you get that? How do you say that? That's on simple. Stammer de Milta, right? So Stammer de Milta, this is the normal way of things. That's just obvious. Shivcha, look at this. This is interesting. This is proper psychology here. It says Shivcha, the Shevach, right? Da'ata me'alma, avirinish de makna. Things that come from the world, things that are just going to drop down, things that you've got no clue where they're coming from, people are happy to sell the rights to that. Exactly like the kefil of the Arba v'Chamesh. About Shivcha de migufa. But something which is coming out of the body itself, which he knows is going to happen. We all know that a sheep's going to grow wool. We all know that a chicken's going to lay eggs. We all know that a goat's going to have a baby. Right? Law, avinish, people aren't too quick to sell that. Okay, that's why it's obvious. When a person sells, gives you the dozen of the Masa Kinyan, he's happy to sell the chance that if it should get stolen, and if it should get found, and if it should be chayv arach hamesh, you can have that. But on the wool and the vladot, I'm not giving you
he's
that.
He's not losing anything.
Exactly. He's not taking chances.
Right.
He's happy to gamble on the upside, yeah. But not on the obvious, right? Okay, Ikedam is the Yeshom Rim. So that was the first answer of Rava. Rava said Nase Ka'omer L'Sheketiganev, right? That was the first answer, Rava. The Rava said it's inherent in the understanding that should it get stolen. This is the story. There's another Ikedam. Amar Rava Nase Ka'omer Lo. Another understanding is that it's as if he said to him L'Keshetiganev V'Tirtzev D'Shameini. The first understanding was that we do it now, at the Maaseh Mesira, when I hand it over to you to look after. The understanding of Rava was, no, I'm telling you now that it's mine. But when it gets stolen, the second before it got stolen, it becomes yours. And therefore, it's your dad. Okay, then think quickly for ourselves. What's the difference between the two cases? Let's go to the wool and to the vladot. So if it's now, we can ask the question of the wool and the vladot. Because mine from now. If it's only mine the second before it got stolen, from now up until it got stolen, it's not mine yet. So I've got no rights to the vladot or to the wool. So it isn't even a question. They have to come the second before it gets stolen to the second answer. Right?
It's a conditional,
sir. It only kicks in. Right, there's a condition. Right, exactly. When it gets stolen. Right, that's what Gemara says. Right? My Benayu, so what's Benayu? So I've already asked what's Benayu, right? Ika Benayu, Kush Rabbi Zaira. Rabbi Zaira's question of the Vladot and of the wool. Inami, says the Gemara, enough Kamina between the two is the Kaima Agam. We've seen that plenty of times, right? When it's not around at the time, what does it mean Kaima Agam? That it's down by the river when it got stolen. So if it wasn't in your Rashut, look at Rashi there. Rashi says Kaima Agam. He says over there, that kashe, look at Rashi, that's in line with the Kut Rashi. See it there? Inami Abagam, kashe nignava, gan, kashe gan, sorry, kashe gan ve ganav, lishna batra, to go into the law, that's a law kani kfeila, why? That's not the law, it's a bachatzero, because when it got started, it wasn't your chatzer, it was in the river. And it's your chatzer, your yard, which is kone, right? And if it's not in your yard at the time that it was stolen outside your house, you never had the right to do it in the first place. That's a little bit more difficult to understand, but I think those are two good examples. Okay, let's move on. I'm Rav Chiya Bar Abba, and I'm in the next line of the Mishnah. I'm Rav Chiya Bar Abba.
Shilem.
What?
Shilem.
Sorry, Shilem v'lo ratzah lishava. Okay, the next line of the Mishnah was where he paid, and he didn't want to make a shvua, right? And then after it was found, so now we said that he pays the double to the shomer. Right, because it was his, right? Amar Chiya Bar Abba Amar Yochanan, lo shilem shilem mamash. Doesn't have to actually have paid the money, right? Ele kevan she'amar hareini meshalem, afa pi shloshlem. Rabbi Yochanan goes one step further and says, you know what? The guy doesn't have to actually have paid money. The very fact that he was happy to pay the money, he said, look, I want to pay the money. From that moment, right, if they find the gun, if in other words, the difference nafkamin is that on Sunday morning he agreed to pay. Yeah. Now he needs the money, and on Tuesday, on Monday morning, they find the ganef, and the ganef, and the what?
The
flip a mission shayava story, right? And on the Monday, they find the ganef. The ganef shechted, and he's now chayav 4 and 5. The money goes going to Rabbi Yochanan to the shomer, even though he hasn't yet paid the money. Okay, because Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have to actually physically close. He admitted he was happy to pay the money. That's good enough. Right, the Gemara is like this. There's a Gemara in the Mishnah, but how can you say that? Got a kasha here. Tnan shilem. Right, what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says, Shilem, he paid. V'lo ratzah lishava. He didn't want to make a shvua. What's the case? Shilem in, lo shilem lo. So how do you tell me that he doesn't have to have paid yet? How can you say Rabbi Yochanan? The Mishnah is pretty clear. Shilem, he paid it. I'm a seifa. So the Gemara says a little bit of seifa. I'm a seifa. So he says, you know, bless you. He says, I'm a seifa nishba, v'lo ratzah lishalem. The seifa, the Mishnah said, that he made a shvua, and he didn't want to pay. Taima de lo ratza. Right? Why did he make a shvua? Because he didn't want to pay. Ha ratza. So we can see, no. Afilu shelo shilem. Okay, why did he make a shvua? Because he didn't want to pay. Either he wanted to pay. That was the right from the safer. It depends how we learn the right from the safer. We can prove each thing that says. What's the Gemara's answer? We've seen this before. Ela miha leke le mashma mina. We can't use this as a proof. This is neither helping Rabbi Yochanan or sorting Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's concept is there. The Mishnah can't help us, because if you look at the Mishnah from the Reisha, so it's a tie on Rabbi Yochanan. Look from the Sefer on the Shavua, the very fact that he didn't want to pay, that's why he's making Shavua. If he wanted to pay, then maybe he's, it is, right? So it doesn't help us any way around. Is that clear?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, Tanya came to Rabbi Yochanan, so we're going to brighter to Rabbi Yochanan. So we've got a brighter here. Mati, where's this brighter? This brighter is in Baba Kama Nun Zion Amud Bet. All of you remember that, right? It was only about Nun Zion. How long ago was that? About 3 months ago. Right? Venignava, right? So, Asoche Parim Chaveru Venignava. Right? And now look what happens. So it was, he rented a cow from his friend and was stolen. Va'amar ala reini meshalem. Va'ayin nishba. Va'amar. What does it mean, va'amar? He only said, never actually paid. Amar hala reini meshalem. We see the brighter says, who gets the money? The socher. And it's enough here that he just said, Amar hala ani yishalem. He never actually had to pay it. So, Gemara says, like it, our papa. Hold on, I don't know. I'm just looking, one second, I'm looking at the Rashi that I wanted to read. No, okay, that's just fine. Amar Rava, Hashomer Chinam, Kevan Shamar Pashati, Makne Lekeifa. Right, so Rav Papa now, right? So now, Rav Papa says as follows. The Shomer Chinam, remember we said yesterday, we got a Shomer Chinam, and he's Chayev only for Pshia, right? Shomer Sachar is chayev for Gneiva and Aveda. So if the Shomer Chinam wants to get out of something, and you come and you challenge him, Lot, what can he say to you? What do you want? I wasn't a poshaya. It was stolen. If it was stolen, no, I don't have to. If it's stolen, one second, if it was stolen, then I'm not responsible for stolen, right? Look, Amar Papa, Shomer Chinam, Kevin Shomer Pashati, Makdila Kfei. If he says I was, if the Shomer Chinam says Pashati, right? Pashati makne le kfeila. Right? He has to pay kefil. Why? De'i ba'i pater nafshe begneva. He admits his responsibility. Right? Look at Rashi. The makne le kfeila. Why? Nikne lo a kefil. Right? The shomer chinam. The shomer chinam. If he says pashati, right? And therefore he's accepting responsibility. Mm-hmm. Right? If he's because he's chayav for pshia. He was patur gneiva. He's now got to pay the owner the value, the keren. Mm-hmm. But once he's paid the keren, if they find the ganef, the kefil goes to him.
It's basically him agreeing to pay.
He's agreeing to pay. Exactly. When he says pashati, I'm agreeing. Exactly. Thank you. When he says pashati, it's as if he's agreeing to pay. Right? But the proof here is, like Rabbi Yochanan, he never actually had to pay yet. Just says pashati. Right? Makshin neklefa. Did he buy? Because if he wanted to, patanav shabagdani, he could have said, look, it's gana, it's nignav, and he would have been patur.
Does he have to make a shvua?
Does he have to? That was Mati's question. Does he have to make a shvua? I don't think he has to make a shvua.
No. If he doesn't admit it was negligence, does he have to make?
If he doesn't say pashati and he says yes, we saw that yesterday.
He has a choice. He can
pay. No, David's up saying let's say he doesn't want to pay. Okay, and he says nignav.
He can lie and say it was done.
But then he's got to make a shvua. Got to make a shvua. If he wants to exempt himself from responsibility, he has to make a shvua. Otherwise, he can pay money and walk away, no shvua. But here he admits responsibility. Okay, he admits it, like Robert says, if he admitted to pay. Rabbi Shomer Chinam Kevin Shomer Pashati Maklek Feila. Do you buy a patron of Shomer Gneva? Shomer Sachar Kevin Shomer Nignava. Same idea now, right? Shomer Sachar is Chaya for Gneva. So when he says Nignava, it's if he admitted to pay. To e buy if you want to do pata naf shabu shvura umaita. Because look, it got broken or and it died. That's the honest. There's the honest, right? Shvura and maita. It died. Right? That's honest. So you see, Robert, we're starting to understand already the difference. Nignava is not honest. Nignava, you expected to protect it. If it died or it broke, it was walking and it broke its leg. It was walking and it broke its leg and it trembled down, knocked a tree. That's honest, exactly. That's honest. That's why it'd be patur. Yeah. But nignava is not honest. If it got stolen, it was stolen. It doesn't, we don't care it was stolen. That's really, we start to see. No, it's good. The questions are good to have in the back of our minds because we start focusing on the questions. Now, look at it. Right? Shvuru meita. Shoel, now a person who just borrows, a borrower, right? Shomer harani mishalem. Here he says harani mishalem. You see, he uses the word harani mishalem. Lo mak didak fa, he doesn't get kefil by saying mishalem. Right? Because the Gemara said, "But my have a lemifta nafshe. How can he patur himself? What else could he have said to Shoel? Because the Shoel is different to a Shomer Chinam, where he's chayev only in pshia. A Shomer is different to a Shomer Sachar, who's chayev for Kneva Vaveda. A Shoel, what could he say? What other lashon could he have used to patur himself? So when he says, right, a Shomer Hareni Meshalem, I will pay, that he does not enough yet. He has to actually pay to be patur. To get the kna. Honest. Everyone's high patrin honest. Everyone's patrin honest. Right? Right, lo makti lek fayla, but my have a le mifta nafshe. Wakarat, b'meita. So the Gemara's like this. B'meita mach. Now we're discussing the shoel now, right? B'meita mach mat melocha. Meita mach mat melocha. So the Gemara said, no, but wait a second. He could have said, meita mach mat melocha. What are you offering? Because the shoel's not chayiv. Something dies in the course of work. If you lend a person an ox to plow, and he goes and plows, and he does normal plowing, he sticks that all that yoke on the ox, and he pulls the plow, and put in the plow, the ox has a heart attack and dies, the shoal is not chayav for that. It's patur. Exactly the case, right? If we learn that from the ox. You will learn the ox from this calf, from the car. We learn the calf from the car from the ox, right? Right, so the Gemara says maybe he could have said that. So the Gemara's answer is we can't use that. Why? Because these things don't happen. That's not a good example. Right. Now that's the first mamar of Ikka da Amri Amar Papa. Now there's another Yesh Omrim on this issue of the Shoel. Amar of Papa Shoel Nami Kevan Shamar Ei Meshalem Machni Lakfeila. Why? The Ibai Pata Nafshei Bemeiter Machmat Melocha. Okay, so there's the Yesh Omrim that maybe that is the case. We could learn that Mamar Rabbi the other way around. Now there's a Kashya. The Gemara says like this: Amar Rav Zvid, Hachi Amar Abaye, Shoel, Ad Sheyeshalem. Now what did Abaye say? That a Shoel is Chayev Ad Sheyeshalem Mamash. Ma Taima, Hoyel V'chol Hana'a Shelo, V'dibure Lo Machdirek Fei. Look at Rashi. Why is a Shoel different? As opposed to Shomer Sachar, she's getting paid. As opposed to a Socher on the other extreme who's paying for the rights. Here, Shoel, he's got all the rights, but no obligations. Right? So therefore, he says that he's different, right? Because Bedibura, the Hareni Meshalem, look at Rashi, Bedibura, when he just says Hareni Meshalem, Lo Makdile Habalim Kefil, She'en Zo Shum Tova Mutala Ya'alav Laniach Dato Sheshilochinam. Why should the guy who's lending it to you and doing you a favor, why should he also give you all the future rights to the big, if the gunner found it, right, just because he did you a favor? There's nothing for that, no reason for that. When your guy paid you, we can understand. If you paid him and he's working hard, we can understand. But here, just as a favor, these things don't happen. Okay, that is what Abaya says. So now we've got this story over here on Rav Zvid. Now remember Rav Zvid. Who was Rav Zvid? Rav Zvid was, if you go, Amar Rav Zvid, right? Hachi Amar Abaya, Shoel, Ad Sheyeshalem. He has to pay, right? Rav Zvid was the one who says, as opposed to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says there's a rule, you don't have to pay, just saying it is enough. Rav Zvid says when it comes to a shoel, you have to actually have paid the money to be entitled to those rights. We've got a bright like Rav Zvid. Tanya Kavatad Rav Zvid. Hashoel para michaveiro, right? If you lend your friend a cow, v'nignan gets stolen. V'kidem hashoel v'shilem. And he went and he paid. Okay, so we see when is it? He has to v'kidem hashoel v'shilem. Right? V'achar kach nimtza ganav, meshalem tashlumei kefel hashoel. Okay, so we see that this brighter here is specific. What does it say? V'kidem hashoel v'shilem. Not he said, I will pay. He went and he paid before. Okay, that's the brighter. So now the Gemara says like this. There were two lishonot to Rav Papa. Let's go back to Rav Papa for a second. Rav Papa brought, there were two Yesh Omrims in Rav Papa, remember, with regard to the Shoel. The first Yesh Omrim was, Shoel Shomer Haini Meshalem, a Shoel who says, I will pay, Lo Makdi Lekfeila. Right? And then the second Yesh Omrim was, Rav Papa, Shoel Nami, Kevan Shamer Haini Meshalem, Makdi Lekfeila. Remember, there were the two lishonot of Rav Papa. So the question just follows. This brighter of Rav Zvid's, right? Right, so like the Lishna Kamad Rav Papa, so with regard to the second Lashon of Rav Papa, where he says that Arayim Meshalem, no, the second Lashon of Rav Papa, right, the Lishna Kamad Rav Papa, so the first Lashon of Rav Papa, where he says, Shoel Sheomer Arayim Meshalem Lo Makni Lekfeila, right, Shoel Rav Papa, Vaday Lo Haveti Yufta, this Rav Zvid doesn't disprove anything. Right, because the Rav Zvid who says that he has to pay before Al, and Rav Papa's first Lashon, which says that he doesn't makdi lekfeila, are the same.
Wow,
that's the same thing, right? Rav Zvid says he has to actually physically go and pay. Yeah. So that fits in with Rav Papa's first Mamar, which says that if you just said Arayim Meshalem, it doesn't give you anything. The question now is the second Lashon of Rav Papa, where he said, Rav Papa, Shoel Nami, Kevan She'amar, enough that he just said it, he does get it. Right, is completely squashed by this brighter of Rav Zvid's. Because the brighter says, Kidem v'shilem. He had to physically actually go and pay. So it's Harani Mishalem, he's not enough, right? Lishna Batra, however, says the Gemara. Lema Tiave Tiyufta. This is the Tiyufta, the second Lema. So now the Gemara says, how would Rav Papa, according to the second Mamar, how would he manage this? So Amar Lecha Rav Papa, Mi Alima Mi Matnitin, Diktani Shilem, Vokimna Ba'amar. We explained in our Mishnah, you're trying to make this brighter, is more forceful, Alim, right? More forceful than the Mishnah. The Mishnah said it's good enough. What did the Mishnah say? Matnitani Shilem, it just said Shilem. And what did we establish? That what did Shilem mean? It was called Rabbi Yochanan. Vokimne ba'amar. And we just said Amar ready mishalem. And Hachinami, so to ya. Hachinami ba'amar. So what are you telling me that the brighter is stronger than the Mishnah? The Mishnah was good enough. Why are you telling me the brighter is a Tiyufta? So that's a good look. The Gemara's answer. Says the Gemara. Mi dami. How do you compare the two? Hatam lo ketani kidem. Exactly like Mati wanted to say, right? There in the Mishnah, there was no mention of the word kidem. Acha ketani kidem. So the Gemara says, okay, so a big deal. So what does kidem mean? My kidem. Kidem v'amar. He went forth and he said. Right, why are you assuming that kidem v'shilem? So the Gemara says, ha-melik tani gabe. So he says, no, it doesn't make sense. Why? Because look, we had, in the case of Rabbi Yochanan, go back a second to Rabbi Yochanan, just about 5-6 lines under the two dots towards the top there. It's in line with just above the Tosfot Elamei Ha-Leka. Right? We said Rabbi Yochanan has socher para micharevo v'nignava. Right? You rented a cow from your friend and got stolen. V'amar hala hareini mishale. Then we had with Rav Zvid, lower down, in line to the Tosfot of Shoel Adchi Yeshalem. We've got Tanya Kavadad Rav Zvid. Hashoel para micharevo v'nignava v'kidem hashoel v'shilem. It's like as hami tanya gabe socher v'amar. With regards to Rabbi Yochanan, it said, "Asocher pravachay Rav Nigdava v'amar hala." And the guy said, with regards to Shoel, we didn't say v'amar. We said we were very particular. It says, "Hashoel para, you rented a para from your friend v'nignava v'kidem Hashoel." So he says the v'amar and the v'kidem are dafka, right? Shma minah dafka ketani. The brightest were being very particular. They chose their lashon carefully. Don't say kidem meant v'amar. Because kidem meant v'amar, then the other bride would have said v'amar. The fact that the one bride said v'amar, the other bride said v'kidem, means that v'kidem means l'shalem, and therefore you can't say what you want. So the Gemara says as follows. So now we've got a question. Midi gabe hadaritani. How do these two brides are being taught at the same time? Maybe there's no connection between this bride and that bride. And therefore your diuk here of the one bride saying v'amar and the other bride saying v'kidem aren't relevant. Because if the one bride was taught with regard to one thing and the other bride with regard to something else, then who cares that there was a diuk here of v'kidem and v'amar? They're two different things altogether. How do we know? So the Gemara is like this. Shailinu letanai. Debei Rab Chia v'Rabbi Ash Yoshai v'amre. Gabe Hadarita, you're right, good question, but we checked with the Tanaim, right? The Tanaim, the Mumchim, who are experts of the brightest in the Beit HaMidrash of Rabbi Yoshai and Rabbi Chia, yeah. And they said these brightest are exactly the same. Now, just a word of quick interesting here, look at Rashi. Letanai, look at the second author of Rashi there, right? He says, Shailanu b'nei Yeshiva, we asked the b'nei Yeshiva, Letanai, Shayu shonin tosefted Rabbi Chia, v'tosefted Rabbi Oshai, right? They're the authors of the Tosefters, right? Shehem Ikar, these are the main sources of the Tosefter. We say in Maschech Chulim, we'll get there one day. Ko matnita, right? Any of these writers, the lo mitnia, by Rabbi Oshai, Rabbi Chia, they weren't taught in the Beit Midrash, Rabbi Oshai, Rabbi Chia, lo todvu bei Midrash, there were no questions asked about it. They're not, as far as we're concerned, they aren't a source for us to base this ourselves on. And these were taught in those Mishnahs, we can rely on the Mishnahs, and they told us that these writers were taught together, there's a proper Tiyufta to the second Ma of Rav Papa. So in other words, do we have to explain Rav Papa? We cut out the second Rav Papa, and the last one is the first Rav Papa, that when a Shoel says, V'omer, it's not enough, he has to mamash pay in order to be able to be zoche the shtayim or shalosh. Okay, we've been running a bit behind time here. Okay, now the Gemara goes as follows. Now we're going to bring a whole lot of examples. We'll run through this quickly. You can all already, I don't want to spoil the end for you, but you can all remember what you can all bear. You'll start seeing how many questions we're going to ask. You'll get an understanding of what the answer is going to be to all these questions. It was like a pshita. Now there's some things that are obvious. Amar eini mishalem. Right? If I say I don't want to pay, v'chazav amar eini mishalem, then I change my mind. I say I will pay. Ha'kamar eini mishalem. Then it's if I paid. In other words, then I'm entitled to getting it, even the Arban Chamesh, even before I paid. I said, I don't want to pay. I changed my mind. I said, I will pay. It's as if I will pay. We ignore the fact that I originally started out by saying, I don't want to pay. However, Ella, Amar Haredi Meshalem, the other way around. If I said, I will pay, and then Chazar Haredi Meshalem, now the question is, what happens? In the meantime, we find the object. Now, when I said, I don't want to pay, did I renounce my original intention or the ulterior motives, extenuating circumstances? Do we say, I've gone back completely, I've changed my mind, or Dilma, we've seen this before plenty of times, already my original words when I said I want to pay remain. But I'm just trying to stall. Remember, we had that before. I haven't got money, and therefore I want to buy time. Right? And therefore I say, listen, I don't want to pay. Not that I really don't want to pay. I just want to argue with you a little bit. Right, yeah, I don't want to pay now, exactly.
How long do you have to decide?
I don't know. Amar Harani, we'll see in a second the answer, David. And this next example, Amar Harani Mishalim, mate. The guy says he's happy to pay, and then he dies. For Amru Bada, but his children said, Adam Mishalim, we don't want to pay. So the same question, are we saying that the children are going back on what the father originally said? Or maybe demilta davun kaimi, but they're just trying to buy time until they sell off some of the Yerusha so that they can pay. Third example, Shalmu Banim. So the sons came now and paid. Look at Rashi. And the father never managed to actually say whether he wants to pay or not pay, and he died. But the children decide, you know what, it's worth our while. We're happy to take the risk and buy this future here on the fact chances they might get fined. Now the question is, do the children have the right to pay for the father or not? Matziah Malehu, what could you say to them? Ki aknai kfeilel avuchon. When the owner says, well, I was happy to give your father the right to the double or the four or the five, why was your father? Because your father had done plenty of good favors for me. I felt a little bit indebted to your father. I owed him a favor. But for you children, law, we don't want him, I don't owe you nothing. Or deal me lost my back to the maybe the father maybe be happy to give the children as well. That's the question.
What would they have done the Kenyan then?
The father did the Master Kenyan.
On behalf of the
children? Well, no, the children are your Yorshim. So yeah. They were Yoresh all the rights of the Yerusha. Those were parts of the Yerusha. That's the question. But now the question now is, was that, when he did the Master Kenyan, was it a Master Kenyan specifically to the father because the father was a good friend of his and not to the children, or maybe also to the children? That's exactly the question. Right? That's exactly the question. Right? But anyway, and then now next example. Shilam Lebanim. Now, the other way around, the children's father died of the guy who was the owner. And now the custodian, he came and he paid the children, right? Matsu Amri Lay. So the children could say to him, Ki atni lach avuna kefela, when my father was happy to give you the kefel, that's because you had done him a favor. But you've done nothing for us. We don't want to give you those rights. Or deal meloshla, maybe again, it makes a difference. Maybe the children were happy to do it as well. Next example, Shilmu Banim Lebanim. Now there's two generations, the next generation are dealing with. The father lent it to the other guy, he did the Kenyan, they're both gone, and now the children are dealing, right? What's the question? There's David's question, right? Are they involved in this at all or not? Do they have any rights or don't they have any rights? Next question, Shilem Mechza. He paid only half the value, right? Look at Rashi there, Shilem Mechza. Mitchilato Amar Hareini Meshalem Mechtzav Loyote. At the outset, he said, I'm happy to only pay you half and not more.
Okay. What's the point of that?
Right. It was at the time of the Kenyan, I think Rashi's talking about here. Right. In other words, so inherent in the guy never said no. So maybe that was condition. Maybe that was the condition.
Does he get half of the?
So look at Rashi. Mahu liknot chetzia kefil. Can he now also be entitled to only half the kefil? Okay, that's the question. Sha'al Shtei Perot. Or the next case is seventh example. He borrowed two cows. V'shilem achat mein mayin. He only paid for one of them. So now look at the question. The question is as follows. Look at Rashi. Shilem shtei parot. Mahu, go to the mahu there. Liknot kefil shela. Can he now get the kefil of one of the cows? Mi aminan kevin de parah shleim shilem. Do we say since he paid for a whole cow, kana? Or no, do we say no? Deal mekevin de tarvayu chad pikarav. Both of them, it was a package deal. It's a package deal. V'anim shleim et shnehem. And since he never paid for the whole package, maybe it's copy. Or we could have gone even further with the question and say, could he be entitled to half? Because that's the same as the question in the first question about. Right. The next example, question number 8. He borrowed from partners. And you only b'shilem le'echad, you only paid to one of the partners. Now look at Rashi there. Chelko chetzid ameh, he paid half to the one partner. Mahen, right? Mehed mai, right? So the same question there. Or shutafin she'shalu, two. Now this was one guy borrowed from two partners. Or here we're talking about another case of two partners borrowed from one person, but in partnership. V'shilem echad, meaning one of the partners paid. Okay, v'shilem echad mehem, chatzi damav, the one partner paid his half. Right? So again, would he be entitled, look at Rashi, the Maoshi, k'ne chetzi ha-kefil, would he be entitled to half the kefil. Right? The 10th one here, sha'al min ha'isha, he borrowed from the woman. Right? V'shilem lebala, and he paid back the husband. My. Look at Rashi there, sha'al min ha'isha, para shel nichsei melog. Now nichsei melog, the carrion belongs to the wife. The principle, but the fruits or the husband has the rights of, right? Sha'akerin shela, says Rashi. Va'aperot labal. V'shilem ha'par labal. Then he paid back to the husband. So mahu, what's the question? Look at Rashi. Liknot ha'kefil. Can he get the kefil? Do we say, mi'abri na'kevin de kerin lav de baalu, since the husband hasn't got the baal, is in the kerin, so therefore lav tashlumin ma'alien, it's not considered proper tashlumin, and therefore there's nothing. Or maybe we say, no, kevin de apotropos su'ala nechassim. He's the custodian, any of the nechassim, and he eats the fruits for ha'parot, ba'alim ha've'alayu tashlumin, and therefore it's proper tashlumin. Okay, that's the next question. There's a great Tosfot I wanted to read on the Shara Taisha. We're not going to have time now, unfortunately. Next example, also Isha Sheshala. Other way around, a woman bothered Isha Sheshala, and Vishilayim Ba, and then her husband goes and repays. My. So do we say again that the husband from Nichsei Melug, that it's her anyhow, so when he paid, or would say no, etc.? All of those questions, my. What's the answer? Teku. Okay. Okay, now, all good questions, right?
I
don't know.
It's a long day.
Okay, Amrav Huna, Mashbino to Shvua. So now we come to the question here of the Shvua. Amrav Huna, Mashbino to Shvua Sha'ena Bishuto. Let's move. Come quickly. We've got 8.5 minutes to finish here. Amrav Huna, Mashbino to Shvua Sha'ena Bishuto. We make him make a Shvua when the guy wants to make a Shvua. I mean, we said that he make him make a Shvua. Bait makes a Shvua. And what are one of the Shvua we make him make a Shvua with the guy who wants to. Mashbino to Sha'eno. Mashpinoto. Look at Rashi. Rashi says like this. Amat nitin kai. This is discussing our Mishnah. Afal pi shehu meshalem. Even though the guy wants to pay. Right? He's not a side. I'm not making a shvua, I'm paying. We still make him make a shvua anyhow. Makes afal pi shehu meshalem kiriktani shilem v'lo ratzari shava. Mashpinoto shvua she'eno bishuto. He has to still make another shvua that says it's not in my rishut. Even though he's paying. Words he doesn't want to make a shvua that he never stole it or it never got lost. He's happy to pay, don't take chance with the shvua. We still make him make a shvua that is not there now in his reshut. Alright, look at Rashi, look at back in the Gemara. Mashbino to shvua shen b'reshut to matel, what's the reason? Chai shinan shem enav natan ba. We say maybe, you know what, the guy's happy to pay. We still don't want a guy getting away with it. Even though you don't want to make a shvua, you stole it. Tell us you haven't got it. Gemara says, maitiva. Got a kashi on this, or a brighter. Hamal bet chaveru ala mashkon, vala mashkon. So you lend somebody something with a mortgage, with a pledge, and he brings you the jacket. This has got a very nice Armani jacket that's worth, I don't know, 1,000 shekels, and you lend him 500, he lends you 500 shekels, and he holds the jacket. Vala mashkon, and now this mashkon that he lost the jacket. Right? So now, v'amarlo. So now the malve says, sela hilvi tichalab, I lent you a sela, and shekel yashave. And the jacket was only worth a shekel. Now, a shekel's half a seller. Okay, so shekel's half a seller. So he says, I lent you a seller. You gave me a pledge. So the other way around. My example, I said the jacket's worth 1,000, he lent you 500. Other way around. Mm-hmm. The jacket's worth 500, he lent you 1,000. Okay? And they lent you 1,000. V'hala amar lo, and the love says, no. Kiel a seller el vitani. I agree, you lent me a seller, but seller vashave, but the jacket's worth a seller. So now you lost my jacket. You owe me a seller. I owe you a seller. We equal. I don't need anything. What's a Gemara say? Patur from a Shvua. Why is he Patur? Look at Rashi. Patur. Halove min ha-Shvua. She'en kan hoda ha-mitzat. There's no more of a mitzat. We say that more of a guy admits to a part of the debt, there's a Shvua. But here there's no, he's not admitting anything. He says, I don't know you anything. Right? So therefore, he's Patur from a Shvua. Next example. Right? Sela il v'tichalav. I lent you a Sela. Shekel ha-yashave. And now he says, but the Jack and the Malve says, I lent you a Sela. And the Shekel, and it was worth a Shekel. And Halan, the Love says, Omelo kira selavit. I agree, you lent me a sela, hivitanya lav, but this jacket wasn't worth a shekel, it was worth shlosha dinarim aveshave. 3 dinarim, they're 4 dinarim in a shtela. So a shekel's 2 dinarim, right? Mm-hmm. Which is half. And I'm saying here, you telling me that I owe you a shekel. I'm telling you I only owe you 1 dinar, which is half a shekel. Okay? So here's the motive of mitzat now. Mm-hmm. Now I'm admitting I owe you something, but only unless what you're asking me. So therefore the Gemara says, chayev is chayev. Why? Because the motive of mitzat. Third case. Sele hilvitani alav. Now the other way around. Remember, up until now we said the lashon was Sela hilvitich. Sela, I lent you. That was the malve speaking. Now the next two examples, the love, the borrower is speaking. Oh, I got that right, eh? Yeah. Says Sela hilvitani. The seller says, the love says to him, you lent me a seller. Right, alav. And shtayim, Sela hilvitani alav. Shtayim aya shave, and it was worth 2 sela. So in other words, you owe me a sela. The love is saying to the malve, the borrower is saying to the lender, you now owe me a sela. Vahala, and the malve says, lo, ki ele sela yilvitich, I agree, I lent you a sela, ava sela aya shave, but it was only worth a sela. So therefore, the love, now I borrowed, you lent me 1,000 shekels, mm-hmm. and I gave you my jacket as a picadon. I come to you and I say to you, where's my jacket? So look, I lost it. Say, fine. Look, you lent me a seller. The jacket was the seller, therefore now I don't owe you any money. And you say to me, no, I lent you a seller, but the jacket's only worth a shekel, only worth half a seller. So you still owe me half a seller. So you, now you...
We had that example.
No, we're the other way around.
This one is, it's twice.
No, that's what I said. Sorry, you're right. It says 2 seller. I'm saying that I borrowed from you a seller, and the jackal's worth 2 slaim.
Oh, okay.
So you owe me a seller. Thank you. Sorry. Because he's not admitting to anything. The malve isn't admitting to anything, to make sure. The fourth example, Sele hilvitani alav, shnayim aya shave. So now again, the borrower comes to the lender and says, you lent me a sela, but it was worth 2 sla in this jacket. And the borrower, and the lender says to the borrower, Bala ome lo, ki ele sela hilvitich, I lent you a sela. The chamisha dinarim aya shave. So 5 dinarim, right? So now 5, we said that a seller is 4 dinarim. So he says that it's worth 5 dinarim. So it's 1.25 slaim. So he's admitting that he owes him now 3 dinarim. So he has a motive of mitzat. Because he's saying that you owe me a seller. And I'm saying, no, I only owe you 3 dinarim. Am I right?
1 dinar.
Right. Chamisha, and it was worth 5, and one. Why? He says, your seller's worth 4. Right. Sorry, and you owe me 1. Exactly. Thank you. And owe you 1. So he has a motive of mitzat. He says chayev, he's got to pay that dinar that he owes and make a shvua. Okay, that he only owes him the 1 dinar, but he's got to pay the dinar.
He's taking a shvua on the value of the.
He's taking a shvua, right? He's taking a shvua that the value was only worth, right. only worth five, and not worth more, because he's saying it was worth more. The Gemara says, like, and the Mishnah ends off and says, this is this brighter here. So that's Meitivei. We're asking a Kasha. Remember, we've got a Kasha on Rav Huna who said, Mashbin oto shvua she'eno bishuto. And we said, what's the reason? Chashna shem enav natanba. And now we've got the brightest like this. So we're a Meitivei. And the end of the brighter says, Mi nishba, who makes the shvua? Now, to be honest with you, when I learned this Mishnah at first, I got a bit confused. Because me in Aramaic usually means, Haim, do we say? But this is a brighter, and the brighter is in Hebrew, not Aramaic. This is pure Hebrew. So minishba is who, right? So who makes the shvua? I even punctuated it wrong here completely. Minishba, who makes the shvua? Mi shapikadon h lo. The klal is who makes the shvua? The one who's got the pikadon. Now, why does the one who make the pikadon make the shvua? Shema yishva ze, because maybe the love will make the shvua that the pikadon is worth more. And then what will happen? The malve, the yotzia, the pikadon will slip out the pikadon and say, you liar. Here, I've got the pikadon. Look, you were trying to lie to me. All right? And then what happens? He makes him into a liar. Look at Rashi. And now we prove this guy's a liar. He's pasul from maybe to make a shvur, giving aid or anything. He's now out of the picture. So now this guy's become a pasul person. So to prevent psul, in Am Yisrael, we say, let the person who's got the pikadon make the shvua.
He's not in the best position to make the shvua.
Even if he isn't in the best position to make the shvua. even if he isn't, for that reason, right? Says a Gemara like this. I mean, I'm going to end off here soon in a second. The Gemara is like this. So now we had four examples, remember? We had first two where the Malveh talks, two where the Loveh talks. Which one are we speaking about? We'll carry on with this tomorrow. All right.